All right, I have a coffee update. We're set to go. I'm Shane Hewitt. Thank you for being here and jumping in on the rush with me and Adam Bunch, who's hanging out. He's my weird friend. Hey, Adam.
Hi.
Welcome back to the conversation and Mother's Day weirdness. It's a strange one. Weird mothers, Toronto mothers. That's what you should do. Weird Toronto mothers. And just end it there. You don't have to add on the day walk.
Well, again, I mean, this walk, which I'm doing this Sunday for Mother's Day, is going to be filled with these sort of weird stories about Toronto mothers. It's part of my festival, A Bizarre Toronto History, that's happening all week. And since the Sunday is Mother's Day, I thought it would be an opportunity to dive into, you know, some weird Toronto moms, basically.
Oh, good. Well, that is a good look. Now, some of the motherly history of our city is where we go. We go to the McKenzie family for some of your storytelling today. My favorite part of Adam is the storytelling. So which McKenzie would you like to start with today when we're talking about the mothers and their weirdness in the history?
Yeah, when you're talking about weird Toronto sort of mom-son relationships, the McKenzies are definitely the first name that leaps to mind. The family has two hugely famous men. There's William Lyon McKenzie, Toronto's infamous rebel mayor, and then his grandson, William Lyon McKenzie King, who becomes the longest-serving prime minister in Canadian history. But they both have really close and really influential relationships with their mothers. So first, let's talk William Lyon McKenzie. This is the rebel mayor who is Toronto's first mayor back in the 1830s and then tries to launch sort of an armed revolution, tries to overthrow the British colonial government here. And that sort of history of troublemaking for McKenzie goes back to when he was a young man growing up in Scotland, with his mom raising him as a single mom, with a son who kept sort of getting up to no good, getting into trouble. McKenzie, when he was young, was a hard drinker, a gambler. He even had a child out of wedlock. So I think it's in part thanks to his mom that he ends up coming here, that his mom in Scotland decides he needs a fresh start and sends him off to the Canadian colonies, and then follows herself, Elizabeth McKenzie, a couple of years later to go live with him, and even brings him a woman to marry, Isabel Baxter, who's sort of a respectable, upstanding citizen, someone you can easily imagine Elizabeth thought would help McKenzie settle down and maybe stop getting into so much trouble. But instead, he gets into more trouble here than he even did back home, because he gets into politics and gets wrapped up with this reform movement, trying to bring real democracy to the Canadian colonies, ends up leading this rebellion. And his mom's sort of there throughout all of it. She lives with her son and his wife and his illegitimate child. When his political opponents, the Family Compact, break into his house and his newspaper office to destroy his printing press, his mom is there that day, hiding upstairs in terror as these thugs are trashing the place. The day of the rebellion, she's involved too. He's up north of the city, of organizing the rebellion, gathering his rebel army together, preparing to march south down Yonge Street and attack the town. His mom's at home with his wife and the children, and soldiers show up at their house on York Street, so right near Osgoode Hall, where the Four Seasons Opera House is today, which is the spot we're going to start this tour. And the soldiers show up to start ransacking his house, searching for his papers, his plans, his letters, any evidence they can use against him. His wife and his kids are trying to keep them from noticing the papers. They've sort of stuffed it into the rafters of the ceiling, according to some versions of the story. The soldiers even have big feathers on their helmets, which we think probably isn't true, but according to the dramatic retelling, their feathers are brushing against the papers as they walk by. In the end, his mom, who at this point, Elizabeth is in her late 80s, sort of storms down the stairs from the upper floor and berates the soldiers, sort of tells them off for harassing these women and children, and eventually gets them to leave the house, which lets them sort of slip out from under their control. They're not being watched by them. And they also manage to get enough time to pull those papers down out of the ceiling and burn them in the fireplace so that the evidence is destroyed. And after the rebellion, Mackenzie ends up having to flee the city, flee Upper Canada entirely, spends a decade living in exile in New York. And his wife, Isabel, and his mom, Elizabeth, live with him there too, so that his mom really gets caught up in all of these, you know, this political turmoil that her son finds himself right in the middle of and the instigator of throughout this sort of fascinating, tumultuous period of our city's history.
I know more. This is cool, Adam, because I know more on the other end of it, which would be the Kingston into the Mackenzie King house in Gatineau, in the Gatineau Park, and all of that end of it. And the pieces from the burned out House of Commons that are at his house there, which is really kind of cool to hear the other end, because I've been on the tour of the house and you get all the reading about the family things. So this goes even deeper. I had no idea, including the daughter who got all tangled in it. Not a lot of time to comment on, I suppose. But, you know, the generations did continue from mother to son to everyone else.
Yeah, so he, Mackenzie and his wife, while living in exile, have some more kids. And one of them is Isabel Grace Mackenzie. She's born while they're living in exile. When they're finally pardoned, they come back to Toronto when she's, Isabel, a seven-year-old girl. Some of their supporters gift them a house, Mackenzie House, which is today a publicly run free museum owned by the city, which is right near I guess Yonge Dundas and Kofa Square, near Yonge and Dundas, right there, which is where Isabel spends sort of her teenage years. And as a young adult, Isabel eventually marries a lawyer, John King, and has her own son, William Lyon Mackenzie King, who grows up to become the prime minister.
Amazing.
And they have maybe the most famously weird mother-son relationship in Canadian history. She, having grown up in this prominent family, but also grown up in poverty during those years they were living in exile, has really sort of high standards and really pushes her son to try to make something of himself, is always sort of shoving him into the limelight, and lives to see the beginning of his political career, but dies before he becomes prime minister. In fact, the last thing she did in her whole life was hear that he had lost an election. Her final words were "poor soul" about her son, which is exactly the kind of thing you might.
That's reassuring from mom.
Yeah, mess a guy up. Yeah. So Mackenzie King ends up sort of never recovering from it and spends the rest of his life trying to keep in contact with his mom. She would, when she was alive, come visit him too in Gatineau at Kingsmere, this estate outside Ottawa. And he sort of continues trying to have these visits after she's dead. Mackenzie King's a huge believer in the occult and in seances, and keeps talking to his mom through psychic mediums, getting advice from her and from other spirits, even sometimes political advice. He takes a notorious trip to Berlin right before the Second World War because the spirits he's talking to think that Canada and Nazi Germany are bound to be fast friends. When the Second World War breaks out, he decides to stop taking political advice from ghosts.
That's a bad idea. Yeah, that's wild.
His mom remains this huge presence in his life even after her death.
Well, before this, and maybe we can pin this for another day, that there, you know, that mystical occult political advisor thing really stretches way back in history, 1600, 1700, like, you know, everyone had that sort of secret advisor. So, I mean, it goes well beyond that. Okay, just to clarify some of the notes that you said and add some context, William Lyon Mackenzie King was prime minister for 21 years, 154 days, in three different segments, by the way, not in a row. Sir John A. Macdonald was number two. If we scroll on down to where we are today, Justin Trudeau is 8 years, 185 days, as of today. Before the end of the year, though, he will leapfrog Louis Saint-Laurent of being the number ninth longest running prime minister of all time if he makes it another 30 days or so. So we will see. Adam Bunch, good luck with more of your festival this weekend. And where can everybody go if they want more info?
Just head to bizarretoronto.com.
Thank you, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks.
All right. Some stories that are breaking in and around our city. If you haven't heard, we need more buses. And there's that happening. And then there was the shooting outside Drake's house, which has everybody paying attention to what is happening in crime in our city. Absolutely. I'm Shane Hewitt. We'll be right back with a check-in and an update.